Good Saturday morning. Welcome in once again to the Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Three convenient locations all around town. Get all your nutrition and supplement needs at Vegas Discount Nutrition. Whatever you need, everyone there, they know what they're talking about. They will put you in the right direction, get you the good stuff that you need so you can become healthier or stay healthy if you are. Three locations in town, like I mentioned, and a fourth location, brand new store opening up in the Fashion Show Mall, November the 1st. Just in time for the holidays. Ballpark Frank Harnisher along with Phil Devine. Big T Terrence is off this week. Armando, I don't know what the hell is he doing. Somebody told me he's got a vacation, but he's gone every month or something like that.
Doesn't
he goes someplace.
Doesn't someone need to work, Frank, to actually garner a vacation?
I don't know. It's like, I'm not sure. Apparently, he's like Big T's like little puppy dog or something like that. He gets a little preferential treatment. Now he's off, and who knows what he's in. He's going to see. Now, is this his other college team, too, or he's always been kind of loyal to Boise State, right?
Yeah, if there is one thing that Armando in his, you know, I think, I thought he was 85, but I was just actually informed the other day that he's in his mid-50s. But he has always stayed loyal to Boise State, unlike every other athletic competition that he follows. He has not jumped off the Boise State bandwagon yet.
Digs at Smurf turf, huh?
He that's what it is. And plus, you know, actually, he is being a good guy. He has taken his daughter to a concert out there. So I think there's really, actually, he's going to see some band named 5 Seconds of Summer or something.
5 Seconds of Summer?
5 Seconds of Summer. And I think that is actually his plan. Bring her in for like 5 seconds, let her see the show, and then go do what he wants to do, and that's go to the Boise State.
Well, I mean, it does make sense with all the women in Armando's life. He gives his daughter 5 seconds of summer, Mary 5 seconds of loving, so it all pans out in the end. So,
wow, you're being generous. You're being generous.
Well, I'm counting foreplay. All right, joining us now, somebody who really needs no introduction, but I'll give it anyhow, writes for the RJ Now and has been covering MMA and all sorts of stuff for as long as I've known her, does a tremendous job. She was nice enough to sit in with me over on Fox Sports 1340 this week as well. Heidi Fang joins us, MMA expert, also big football fan, yeah. Likes all the different sports out there. And are you looking forward to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I think that's going to happen, and yeah, I am. Especially, I was there just recently at the most recent Southern Nevada Tourism Infrastructure Committee meeting.
Wow. Say that three times fast. Yeah.
SNTIC.
That three times fast.
And at that meeting, they unveiled the plans for the domed stadium. I put the video up on the RJ's site, and man, that is just a really gorgeous piece of architecture. I don't really get this excited about architecture. Somebody might tell me that's Art Deco, but I don't know. I don't care. But this stadium is really something state of the art. I think it would just blow other stadiums that exist currently out of the water. And I'm really excited to see if it comes to fruition.
Yeah, you say you think it's going to happen. And I've heard conflicting, you know, or everybody's got their point of view. But you really do think that we will be seeing? I know they copyrighted the name Las Vegas Raiders, all of that, and you know I know there's all these plans, but there seems to be a lot that still has to happen before this comes through.
There is a lot that needs to happen, and it needs to happen quickly. They're still narrowing down a site. There's a couple here. There's the Bally High Golf Club Resort area that they're trying to narrow down as one of the sites, and that's just right off of where the Las Vegas sign is on Las Vegas Boulevard. And then you have the other site down on Russell Road. That's kind of adjacent to where the Mandalay Bay is.
Yeah, that's a little bit smaller site.
But yeah, about 62 acres or so.
Yeah,
so
a little bit smaller, but that apparently right now looks to be the number one site. I was actually talking to Steve Sisolak yesterday when I filled in for Mitch and Pritch here on ESPN Radio, and we were talking to him about it because one of the things that I had heard about it was that there was a fight between the money for the convention center people and for the stadium people. Well, Sisolak said, no. The money for the convention's already been approved. That doesn't have any input on this here. Now we're just trying to get that the $750 million. It would be about an 88-cent tax for every $100 or $120, and it would be a room tax, so the locals out here would not pay it. So they seem very convinced that they think that this can and will happen, but like you mentioned, the time constraint seems to be the biggest thing out there.
How much time do they have?
From what Davis is saying, he needs an answer by the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
That's pushing it.
Well, that's not only pushing it, but they have to have a special meeting here in Vegas and then another one up in Carson City, and there's no meeting scheduled right now. So they would have to get a couple. They might even have to have two down here. So to get two down here and then have Carson City get their stuff together as well with an election coming up, and they don't even know if the people that vote on it now would be the people that would be in the seats after it passes and this, that, and the other. So that kind of does look like a long shot. They might have to go to plan B, whatever that might be.
Yeah, see, this is seeming more and more like it's going to be an issue. I thought when we got hockey that was a sure fight. We're going to get football next. I don't know if we'll get it done in time. If we do, it will be historic, obviously. But let's actually just go back a week and talk about history, because a historic event did take place last weekend. We were really excited about it leading into the weekend, talking about UFC 202, Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz happened. Heidi, you were actually there for this one. I'm hearing one of the highest selling pay-per-views of all time, and I'm hearing one of the highest gates of all time. I know gate-wise, obviously it has something to do with the fact that Conor McGregor is fighting, and anytime he fights, they're jacking the price up. I mean, when you saw earlier in the week of last week, I think on Wednesday, it was still $200-something for upper-tier tickets. I know they did drop them, and Ireland finally did show up on Friday, but what was it like in the arena?
Well, the arena obviously had a lot of buzz. Early on, you get there and Ireland is just lined up outside the gates and the turnstiles and you're just waiting to get in. All you saw were flags and, you know, a lot of 209 representing as well. But mainly they were overwhelmed by the Irish crowd. As, you know, we've seen with these Conor McGregor fights, the Irish follow him everywhere he goes. UFC 202 did bring in the numbers. Like you mentioned, the gate, it was, I believe, as reported on Fight Night, one of the top five gates that the UFC has had in its history. And in addition to that, the pay-per-view numbers coming in are looking to be around 1.2 to 1.5 million. That would make it one of the highest. So Conor McGregor numbers, he seems to be the new guy that is the one that's going to keep selling these pay-per-views. Anderson Silva is one that used to. John Jones, you know, Ronda Rousey's up there. But Conor's the man as of late.
Yes, 7 million. It was over $7.6 million in the gate. And you're absolutely right. From what I'm running, early numbers, 1.1 to 1.2 million. That's a big, big, big gate.
Yeah, last week when we were talking about how they were slashing prices, basically they slashed them down on what prices normally are.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and you know, when you have upper tier going for that price, you know they're expecting a lot, and, you know, sales didn't look so good in the beginning of the week, but like I said, the Irish fans did show up on Friday for the weigh-ins, and, I mean, the excitement leading up to the fight was great. The fight itself, I think it was better.
I think it was, too, and when you're talking about the stuff leading up to it, as much as the media and everybody wanted to rip it, the water bottle throwing and everything else, it made a whole different. All of a sudden, everybody was talking about it. The networks that weren't talking about it were talking about it. Shows that were not sports shows were talking about it. So you can say what you want to about it, and I don't believe it was a staged thing, but what's the old adage? No such thing as bad publicity. All of a sudden, everybody was going, wow, these two camps, they really do hate each other, and these guys really can't stand each other, and they don't care if other people are in the middle or in between or wherever, and it got that excitement up to a fever pitch even more. Then, like you guys mentioned, the Irish fans came in and all of a sudden threw the charts. And thank God we finally had an event that lived up to the hype.
It certainly did live up to the hype. I mean, I thought that was one of the best fights I've seen in a long time. It had everything you wanted. It had those, you were on the edge of your seat. You had those moments where you're waiting. Conor drops Nate twice in the first two rounds. You're thinking, whoa. And then all of a sudden, Nate gets that research, comes back, looks like he's got Conor up against the fence, and done. Conor comes back, wins the fourth round, back and forth. I thought it was a great night of fights. Conor and Nate definitely lived up to it. I thought Glover and Anthony Johnson, was that one of the biggest surprises ever? You thought you were going to really see a fight there, but that just proved Anthony Johnson's got some dynamite in those hands.
Yeah, we always knew that, but definitely 13-second knockout of Glover Teixeira, somebody who I think hasn't been stopped like that since 2002. I mean, the idea of somebody like Anthony Johnson coming up and facing the next guy for the title. Maybe Jon Jones comes back. Maybe it's Daniel Cormier. But either way, that's going to be exciting. And you know what? I wanted just a second to touch on the purses that both Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz got was also pretty historical. They got paid for a UFC fight. That was good money. Both of them coming in with multi-million dollars on the fight purses. So Conor actually posted a picture that I was just looking at on Twitter not too far back here. And it's like a custom home that he just bought, and well-deserved, I gotta say. Those guys earned their paycheck.
Yeah, Nate Diaz took in a reported $2 million. Connor, a reported $3 million. Obviously, Frank and I were talking before air. That is not what they brought in. They brought more.
That's the base. That's what they got for the fight.
For showing up and putting on the show that they did, that's what they got. But there's also all of those other endorsements that come in. I know there's a lot of people out there saying, but what about that whole Reebok deal? And everybody's getting screwed over with that. There's other money to be found in other places. And Connor and Nate both made bank. And Frank, you were saying that you heard from like a Uriah Faber tweet or something that they made in the way more than that. So yeah, I'm interested to see what the final numbers, if we ever do find out what they are.
Yeah, he posted out a story. Now, again, this isn't any official numbers or something like that. But one of the things that Uriah posted out, one of the stories claimed that McGregor got $15 million when all was said and done, and Diaz got like $13 million. I had heard that it was going to be around like 13 and 10 or something like that, so that's not completely out of the realm of possibility. But and I want to say this too, I will be the first one to admit, I thought Diaz was going to win again. I thought with a full camp that he would come in there, but I will give McGregor all the props in the world. His leg kicks were incredible at the start of the fight. Why nobody in Stockton knows how to block a leg kick, I have no idea, but none of them do. And if you saw the undercard, one of McGregor's camp was a guy from Russia was taking on one of the Diaz team members.
And actually the guy from Russia, Artem Lobov, I think is his last name, he lives in Ireland and trains with Conor.
Trains with Conor.
So it was actually really interesting to see that on the undercard. And then, you know, you're like, hey, you know, these two camps, obviously there's a little heat between
and
them
they even said on,
started off.
And they even said on the undercard, is this a precursor of what's going to go on later on tonight? Are we going to see McGregor throwing some leg kicks? And by golly, he certainly did. And the one thing, the reason that I thought Diaz was going to win, because I thought at some point in five rounds, he'd get to take him to the ground. And McGregor worked his takedown defense. Diaz was never even close. He finally took him down, but with 12 seconds left, sorry, game's over. And like you mentioned, Phil, in the third round, McGregor's sucking wind. Diaz runs marathons in that, so I'm thinking, okay, well, he's starting to fade here. He's not really used to going into these five-round fights here. Diaz isn't going to tire. And to his credit, he sucked it up, got a little ice pack in there, and he went back out. And in the fourth round, he came back to fight, and I'm like, wow, this is a much, much different version of Conor McGregor in this fight.
And in fact, actually, last Saturday morning, I had picked Conor to win, and I kind of felt a little like a Nostradamus there when he came out and started throwing those leg kicks right away. I think if he had actually continued with the leg kicks and not gassed as soon as he did, I think he would have probably finished Diaz.
Was it gassing, or did he really break his foot? Because there's some reports that he says that he thinks he fractured his foot as early as the first round.
From what I heard, but he's medically suspended for
6 months.
Six months.
That's pending doctor clearance. So if he does go to an orthopedic surgeon and the orthopedic surgeon says, clean bill health, you're good to go, buddy. Then we'll see him fight. Probably could be 3-4 months even.
Well, here's the interesting thing now. We're tied at one apiece. Dana has already said we're not going to see a third. But I know that's what Connor's going to want, and I know that's what Diaz wants. Do you think we see a third fight?
I hope so, and I hope it's at 155, because to be honest, with the first time I heard 170, I didn't really want to see that, but I understood it from the perspective of Diaz was coming in on 11 days. Okay, that's the weight they agreed at. We have a fight. Yay. Second time, I was like, this makes no sense. Why do this at 170 yet again? But for Connor this time, it was about that manhood and proving it and showing up with, you know, making sure that he did at the same weight that he got beat at. This time, it better be at 155, because I think that makes the most sense for both of them, especially if Connor's talking about going after a lightweight title shot. But I'd rather see him defend the title at 145 Another fight, I guess, against Aldo first. Just defend the belt once. That's all I want.
Unfortunately, I don't think that'll happen.
I hope we see a third fight as well, and I do think it's interesting what Dana said. And Heidi and I talked about this earlier in the week when we did another show here with part of the Las Vegas Sports Network. And this is just my theory. There's absolutely nobody has told me this. When Dana basically came out and said, we're not going to do this a third time, if Conor wants to do this again, then he's got to relinquish the belt. Why would he not say something like that? If he doesn't relinquish the belt and they let him fight a third time, you're talking 6 months before they fight again, so maybe New Year's card, maybe Super Bowl weekend or something like that, one of the big cards out here. Then they're going to fight. Then they're going to have the medicals and that again. And before he ever fights Aldo, if he's going to take that fight, it's going to be another 6 months after that. So that belt is still sitting on the shelf for a year. This way he says, okay, you want to fight him? You both make a boatload of money once again. Get the fight in. And then I'll have Aldo fight because you relinquish the belt. He'll fight somebody else. They'll fight for an interim belt. And if Conor wins or loses, he can still come back and say, okay, now I'm going to go back and re-get my belt because I never lost it in the cage. But otherwise, to have him sitting there for another year waiting makes no sense.
You're absolutely right, and that's what I think will happen. Actually, I'm 100% sure Conor will relinquish that belt. If you've seen the size that he's put on and hasn't failed a test, he's going to keep that size. And it's going to be even harder for him to make featherweight. He already had a horrible time making 145. It would be even worse. I don't think we ever see Conor McGregor again at featherweight. The Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor 2, it's not happening, in my opinion.
I think it could possibly happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if it happened and he won. Then he said, now I'm leaving and going up to 155, and then left that empty, which would not say much, because then it's like, oh, great, now we got to promote a couple guys that our champ just left, and now here's the vacant belt.
Just one thing on this. I know we had to go to a break, but I think that Conor still wants to become a two-division champion, and the only way to do that is to defend that title at featherweight. But I think maybe, like you said, Phil, the weight, probably 55 first, and then we'll talk about maybe defending that title. But if he has to ring the shit, he has to. So maybe he goes to 170 and 55. Who knows?
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. But once again, thank goodness we finally had a fight card that lived up to the hype. The main event, Rumble Johnson. Cowboy Cerrone looked incredible as well. I guess he just signed an 8-fight deal. So,
which I want to talk about a little later, because it's a little crazy.
Well, anything with Cowboy is going to be a little crazy. When we come back, you know, it is NFL season. We still have more of a preseason action going on. Week 3, of course, almost in the books now. But we're looking at all the different divisions. We will look at the AFC South today. What's going to happen there? Well, we'll give you our opinions. Weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Go there for all your supplement needs.